I've been playing outdoors since I was a kid, standing by the front door at around 2 years old, hollering, "Side, side," trying to get my mom to let me go play outside. Now, after 30-plus years working in the outdoor business, I'm dropping insider conversations every week with brand leaders, guides, marketers, CEOs, and others that make the outdoor business a trillion-dollar juggernaut that drives product innovation, revenue, and public policy for everything outdoors. I'm Rick Sayes. Welcome to the Outdoor Biz Podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts.
In this episode, we are going to talk about five things safety pros can do to create an incredible employee experience for your workers. It's very important. Coming out of 2020, everybody took it on the chin. We're going to go into 2021 with this renewed sense of purpose, and we're going to start with creating that incredible employee experience. So get ready. We're going to get into it in this episode. All right, everybody, before we get into today's topic, I want to remind everybody, if your business is reopening after any kind of closure due to COVID, or you've continued to remain open, but you're struggling with how to mark your facilities to ensure physical distancing and relay important information about safety and health as it relates to COVID, I want you to go visit our friends over at Mighty Line Floor Tape. Mighty Line has some great products for you to mark your floors, whether it be the stand here, the 6 feet distancing, or just floor tape to denote lanes of travel. They have everything you need to mark your facility. So hit the link in the show notes, visit our friends at Mighty Line Floor Tape. They are incredible partners in safety. I can't thank them enough for their support of the podcast. Again, Mighty Line Tape for all of your floor marking needs. All right. As promised, we are going to talk about how you, the safety professional, can help create this best-in-class workplace experience for your employees, how you can work with leadership to make this happen. There are five crucial areas that we've got to focus on during 2021 to keep this employee experience at the top of our game, right? And this is what we're going to get into. Number one is hiring. And according to Gallup, where companies are searching for top talent has changed. COVID-19 dramatically changed the recruiting and hiring process. So we have a bunch of roles that maybe shifted from being on-site to being remote, like entirely, and can probably stay remote if you think about it. Therefore, the entire candidate process also went virtual. So this created opportunities for business leaders. Hiring changes have also placed new demands on these leaders. So the most significant one being, because we have no boundaries geographically now with candidate pools, that increased competition for talent. So we maybe, you know, had to wade through more potential candidates than we did before. And because top talent can be choosier than before about their employer, we, leaders, business leaders, have to provide that compelling, desirable employee experience to be able to attract these folks. They're sort of picking and choosing from the best, right? Whereas maybe we were geographically limited. You had a pool of candidates that only had so many options in front of them. And it was a little more competitive for us as the hiring company. But now for the employees, or potential employees, the candidate, they're pretty much in the driver's seat. You know, it's like it's a buyer's market, to put it in real estate terms. Now, in order for us to provide that experience, it's going to require a clear, future-oriented talent acquisition strategy. So Gallup recommends that leaders consider the following questions. How has your talent acquisition process changed in response to the move to virtual recruiting? How can you capitalize on the efficiencies of virtual recruiting? As in-person interviews reemerge, how will you determine which roles necessitate that type of interview process for the final interview? For safety professionals, this whole talent acquisition process, you know, it was easy for us to impress upon a candidate that came on site in the past, even to just do an initial screening or do one or two interviews. Bringing them on site gave us an opportunity to put on that dog and pony show, if you will, right? To put our best foot forward, make a great first impression to say, hey, this is the place you want to work and here's why. Now that we're all remote, they don't have that sense of what the company culture is like or the site culture at that location. They don't have that opportunity to see everything that we as safety professionals, for example, can do and provide for them as an employee at that site. So we're going to have to be a part of this process in some way, shape, or form. We're going to have to partner with HR recruiting to make sure that the interview process, if we're not directly involved in the interview process, that they have some sort of messaging or there are some questions related to safety culture and being able to, you know, impress upon that candidate that we do have a culture of safety and that we do care for our employees and be able to demonstrate it remotely some way. So that's going to be a challenge. So that's going to be a focus for us. And that allows us to create an influential employment brand, right? A purpose and culture. So my challenge to safety pros in 2021, work very closely with HR, recruiting, and leadership, who even managers and frontline managers who will be doing interviews even remotely for on-site positions where that candidate is trying to make a decision between your company and four or five others that are also interviewing remotely but will eventually be on-site, have some sort of a video tour or virtual tour or some sort of safety presentation that takes maybe 3 minutes or something to be able to impress upon that candidate that this is the place they want to work. So work with them to create this virtual experience from safety. So that's my challenge for number one. Number two is onboarding. And we all know this is another opportunity at a first impression. All right, so they've already decided this is the place I want to work. Now let's see if it actually holds true. So they've gone through the virtual interview process and you've been able to participate in putting some presentation together for candidates. So they successfully selected your company as a place they want to work. Well, now you've got to put up or shut up, right? So does the experience match the brochure, if you will? So this is where the onboarding process comes in. COVID-19 has also flipped onboarding processes upside down. Many new hires, they don't have the luxury of meeting their new colleagues in person anymore or building a relationship through those hallway conversations and lunch outings or even sitting in a new hire class with other new candidates. Remember, some of the onboarding experience that we don't really focus on or don't look at that is extremely beneficial is just assimilating new hires into the organization. I still am good friends with many former employees coworkers that I got hired with. We went through the onboarding process together. There was this camaraderie. We had something in common, and that was we were both new. None of us knew anybody else in the organization, but we knew each other. So we miss some of that. This is where the benefit for safety professionals is that we can kind of help create those bonds in the onboarding process so that employees, especially new employees, are more likely to speak up and tell another coworker about something, confide in issues and problems that they're having with another coworker that can then be escalated to somebody who can help them do something about it, right? You've got to first drive this culture of having a friend or somebody that cares about me at work, right? Think about all of that you miss when you do a virtual onboarding or even just a remote onboarding that's not even a live, like, you know, Zoom, Skype, or whatever session, that it's just pre-recorded and it's literally the new hire sitting by themselves at home with their computer and going through these recorded messages. I mean, think about how impersonal that experience is for them. All right. The reason why I'm bringing this up is because that onboarding, right, that is the first and most critical opportunity to introduce employees to the work culture and lay a foundation for safety. It creates positive memories and it shapes employee expectations about what your organization values and how your brand meets customers' needs, gets them to buy into it. And when they're not there physically to see this and to see the work that's being done after you showed them photos of it, like when they're going to the restroom during breaks or going to have lunch in the cafeteria or break room with other employees, they kind of can make that connection. What I was told and what I saw and then what I'm experiencing and hearing others talk about, they match, right? We miss that now. So can you create both an in-person and virtual onboarding experience? Is that possible? A hybrid? How will you ensure that both experiences are equally engaging and create connections to the organization for the new hires? Can you peel off some of the things that can be done remotely and don't necessarily require this sort of one-on-one or even the communal experience of being in a group, but maybe that they can do one on their own, filling out paperwork, filling out like insurance forms, things like that. But then actually having them in person for very limited things that are really important that they be on site for. This can help minimize exposure that you don't want to have between different employee groups because of COVID, but this is an opportunity for safety professionals to actually influence this process. Is your employee onboarding process creating a network that new hires will not only learn from in the short term, but also be able to leverage 6 months or a year into the future, right? Those friends, how are you able to help drive that experience? Now, as a safety professional, we can do this by getting involved in the onboarding process, setting up time where we actually go in and do a guest speaking, you know, section of the onboarding, you know, presentation, or like I said, having them come in small groups and have that experience on site. Number three, performance. This is where we get to drive these new expectations, right? And what's really critical about performance is that we get to tie it back to the previous two points that I just made. It becomes even more difficult when a lot of positions have moved to a remote status. So, performance management is going to require this, you know, ceaseless manager support and coaching. And when performance management is adaptive and designed for continual improvement, it can be difficult to disrupt. So, with that in mind, leaders should ask the following questions to recalibrate performance strategies. How will your performance expectations and metrics change? So, when you have somebody who's working remotely or is hybrid, how do you adjust your performance expectations and metrics? So, look at it from a safety standpoint. What safety performance expectations and metrics need to change when you have somebody who's working some of the days in the week on site and some not on site that are remote? Right. So if you have like a total number of engagements that you would expect somebody to make, safety engagements or safety observations or participate in the suggestion program, things like that, you may have to adjust some of those expectations when they're spending, I don't know, half or more sometimes of their work life not on site. So make sure you can adjust expectations and we don't actually set the experience up to fail, to be a failure for the employee, I should say, because we have now adjusted their work schedule and work presence, but haven't adjusted the expectations, the performance expectations. Same thing with just folks that are there full-time all the time, right? When we have HR benefits, some senior leaders are working a hybrid schedule, aren't there as much or as often, we may have to adjust some of the performance expectations and metrics that we track for safety and health with the workers that are there full time because they may not have support all of the time. We have to take a look at this and see, okay, what makes sense for us to change? So that's number three. I bet you this is going to be one a lot of folks miss. How have we adjusted our performance expectations as a result of a significant part of our workforce being remote or hybrid? Okay. Number four is development. That's right. How will we paint a picture of growth for these employees going into the future? Now, if we have a team of safety professionals and maybe you're the safety manager and you're remote, how are you managing them remotely from a development standpoint? Does each of your employees have an individual development plan and career path? What about those that aren't on your team, but are maybe reporting to production managers? Have you reached out to those production leaders, those operations leaders, and partnered with them to say, hey, you know, you have these individuals on a career path. What can we do to support them from the safety side? You know, we should build into the career path, these growth expectations, development plans. We should build in some safety requirements, things they have to learn because, you know, if they're going to be the next great leader, they're going to have to also lead in safety. So make sure you partner with them. It's a great opportunity now to partner with other operations leaders in the development phase, not just with your own teams. Okay. What roles and responsibilities have changed due to the pandemic? You know, has HR changed anything? And therefore, how can we come in and help support those from a safety standpoint as well? I mean, how do we upskill our workforce to meet the new needs of the organization, right, with these hybrid schedules? Are there new opportunities for employees to assume new stretch responsibilities or assist overburden leaders, you know, as sort of these additional projects and things that pop up, maybe safety projects? So we've got to be very forward thinking about the development piece when it comes to, you know, how we create this meaningful employee experience. Number five is going to be familiar to you because I did an entire episode on this and it's still going to be important, right? It's still just on the top of the list of things we got to focus on as safety professionals, and that is employee well-being. I mean, this is a new requirement of the modern workforce, if you want to think of it this way. And it is workplace safety and health. Employee well-being is workplace safety and health. I said it in a previous episode. You should go back and listen to that one. I dedicated an entire episode to it. But look, well-being must become a top priority of the employee experience because the pandemic has caused record levels of stress and worry in and of itself. Social connections are more difficult to maintain. Remote workers are facing new types of burnout that we didn't have before. And we have to be cognizant of this, not from just an HR and an employee assistant program standpoint, but from a safety and health professional, we should be concerned about the health of our employees. More than ever, leading an engaged and productive workforce demands an increased emphasis on holistic employee well-being with leaders who are committed to supporting all five elements of well-being. I talked about it, all the five elements of well-being in that previous episode. I want you to go back and listen to that one because those are going to be key for this section we're talking about. So leaders should consider the following questions to help their employees thrive at work. Not just safety leaders, safety professionals, but we can help our operations leaders with these questions as well and support them in creating this employee well-being experience for their workers. Are managers taught to focus on the whole person when they engage, manage, and develop their teams? How are we helping employees fight their COVID-19 fatigue and find work-life balance? Are we providing the tips and strategies that operations leaders can use? Can we partner with HR on this? So if somebody's working at home a lot and in the workplace, we have, you know, scheduled breaks, they get up away from their desk because they go into different meetings and so on just naturally throughout the day. Well, when they're at home, they do the remote meetings. They don't have to get up at all. They're sitting in a chair at their desk all day. How are we building in key calendar reminders to get up and stretch and walk or things like that? So we can support them in this. What are we doing to create a culture of well-being? How are we addressing those five essential elements of well-being that I mentioned? You got to go back to the other episode and listen to those. But that is what we want to focus on as safety pros going into 2021, those five essential elements of well-being. You know, just to wrap this up, change is endemic in today's workplaces. Okay. I don't think we're ever going to go back to a normal. I think we're just going to continue to adapt and evolve. And that's great. But some things are constant, including employees' fundamental need for an authentic, meaningful employee experience. And the good news here is that us as leaders, if you're a safety professional, it doesn't matter, you know, what level or rank you have or title you have, you are a business leader. Okay. We can provide a compelling, engaging employee experience at every stage of the employee lifecycle. Every one of them, as safety professionals, we get to influence that. Think about how incredible that opportunity is for us as safety professionals. So, look, we've got all the tools we need. We've got a research-based, proven approach that we can tap into, whether it's relying on some of this Gallup data or some of the other best practices I've talked about in other episodes. You know, we have the tools, okay? And when we do, when we use these, we can fuel individual, team, and organizational performance through the roof, okay? We can be a major player in the business success. And it's not to pat ourselves on the back, but this is what we do. We want to protect employees' safety and health. And yeah, we want to do that directly at the points of hazard with the processes and machines and the tools and materials they're working with. Absolutely, none of that's going to change. Protecting the company to make sure that the company is in compliance with the proper policies and procedures by doing the JSAs and setting up work instructions and making sure that they're trained and equipped. And yeah, yes, none of that's going to change. But I challenge safety professionals in 2021 to start adding to that already great work that we're doing in those other areas. I challenge you to add stuff like this, the professional part of safety professional. And we can make sure that into the future, we not just secure our value within the organization, we actually get to bring operations leaders to the table when it comes to safety and health, partnering with them in safety and health, and together make sure that we create this world-class employee experience that employees want to work for this organization. They care about me. They're constantly assessing whether or not I'm doing okay and providing me the opportunity to do even better. So I wanted to do a little more inspirational episode. I hope I was successful in some way, shape, or form. I want to hear from you. What are you doing as a safety professional in this area going into 2021? What have you changed that maybe you didn't have to work on or focus on prior to the pandemic that now has you engaged more and challenged you more in a positive way? I want to hear your thoughts. I want you to go over to the Safety Pro Podcast community site. It's a community of safety pros just like you, and we're interacting and posting every day. And I want you to become a member. It's free to join to read some of the posts and certainly catch some of the episode posts that I drop there as well. But if you want to participate in the conversations, think about becoming a premium member. It's only $6.99 a month. You can cancel at any time, and it gives you access to all the inside information that we post there, including training videos, references to new tools, downloads, templates that we're providing, and coming soon, we're going to have live chats available for these episodes as well. So that's right. You're going to be able to chat live with myself and some other premium members. We're building a really good community over there, so be sure to check that out. I will talk to you on the next Safety Pro Podcast episode.